Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Saudi Arabia has been hosting some high-profile sporting events in recent years, and the country will continue its sports push later this month with what's being billed as the Rumble in Riyadh. World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Tyson Fury will fight the Cameroonian Francis Ngannou, a former mixed martial arts champion, on October 28th. At a promotional event in London, the 37-year-old Ngannou said he's been thinking of knocking out Fury.
And I always ask myself, like, what will happen at the moment that guy hit the floor and doesn't stand up? Like, are you the best boxer in the world now? Like, what would that be? I mean, if you take out the number one, you're the number one, right? I think so.
Yep.
But it's really hard to think about it. I think for right now, I'll just focus on, like, take him out, then I'll figure the rest out after.
Helping Francis Ngannou figure things out in the boxing ring is none other than former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson, who is working as Ngannou's trainer.
It's something magical, right? I grew up just know Mike Tyson as a face of boxing, and I get to the point that my first boxing match, the guy in my corner, the guy that, I mean, I was in the gym with him training and was having those same sensation. Like, is this real, right? This Mike Tyson, right? And he was talking like, go, again. And I'm like, this is Mike Tyson on my corner for my first boxing match. This is real. And even that, after training, after we're done, I get ready to get home. And I'm like, man, one more. This is real. Just live the dream. It was amazing. So the motivation, the wisdom, the knowledge that he brings, for me, is something unique. For me, it's something that, I mean, he's been there tens of time, hundreds of time, which I haven't been there, so he knows a lot about the game. And if there's one person that I have to trust, that I can trust as far as boxing concerned, is Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson was the world heavyweight boxing champion in 1988 when Tyson Fury was born. Fury's father named him after the American boxer. Now Fury's next opponent is being trained by Mike Tyson. Fury comments.
It's actually hurtful, isn't it? I'm about to cry my eyes out with you. I know that if it was personal and not business, then I'd take it seriously. But this is strictly business. You know, Mike Tyson's doing a job for Francis. He's now a boxing trainer. Fair play to him. It's surreal for me to be... Imagine a newborn baby being named after a boxing champion, and then all of a sudden you're named after him, you become world heavyweight champion, and then the world heavyweight champion is now fighting somebody else, and now the guy you're named after is training the guy. He thinks he's in a dream. Now I'm definitely in a dream.
Tyson Fury says even though this will be Ngannou's first professional boxing match, he's not taking his opponent lightly.
Let's not forget, I only trained 6 weeks for Deontay Wilder. I'm doing 12 weeks for Francis Ngannou. 12 weeks. So I need to be on my A game because it's more on the line now than a boxing fight. You know, if I lose to a number one contender, another champion, it's like, well, he lost to a champion, whatever. But if I lose to an MMA guy, I'm never going to be able to show my face in public again. It's going to be ridiculed. People are going to chuck it at me forever. So there's more riding on this than there ever has been before. And whether the media want to take it as a joke or whatever they want to take it as, make no mistake, Tyson Fury will leave zero stones unturned, and I will come in at my fittest and strongest and best I've ever been to defeat this man. And if I'm not, and I get knocked out, I want you all to laugh at me. That's what I want, because I'll deserve it. Only an idiot wouldn't train the bollocks off of somebody like Francis. The man's a machine, and I'll give him 100% respect, and I'm in the gym every day training, and I can't do no more.
I'm coming for everything.
Good, and so you should. And if you beat me, you become the lineal world heavyweight champion. It goes back to the days of John L. Sullivan, the man who beat the man who beat the man who beat the man, going back to the olden days. You will be the uno, number one in the division. So, yeah, fantastic opportunity, and fair play to you if you can do it. I'll walk across the ring, shake your hand, give you a kiss, and take you out for a beer. Alcohol free, of course.
That's Tyson Fury, the World Boxing Council heavyweight champion, and he was speaking in London. Fury will fight Francis Ngannou on October 28th in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America's English to Africa service officially celebrated its 60th anniversary on August 4th. As part of the festivities, I asked my sporty predecessor, the old sports emperor, Barry Mon. Looking back, Barry, can you give us a few of your personal sports highlights during your broadcasting career?
Azuma Nelson. A professor. I traveled to my homeland of Melbourne, Australia, and in the pouring rain, he did a beatdown on Australia's Jeff Fenwick, and it was monumental because it just showed the greatness of this African legend. And then afterwards, I was the only reporter allowed in his dressing room, and there with only a towel draped decorously around him. We had this long interview, and as he was getting a rub down, and it stands out in my mind because it just showed the true greatness and the humility of this wonderful African boxer.
Well, on the boxing front, Barry, one of my great memories was back in early 2000s, about 5 or 6 years before he passed, Smokin' Joe Frazier, who was a boyhood hero of mine. In fact, Smokin' Joe was born in Beaufort, South Carolina, and I was born just down the road in Charleston, South Carolina. And so I followed him throughout his career, his three epic fights against Muhammad Ali. And through good fortune, I was able to make a trip up to Smokin' Joe's gym in Philadelphia and talk with Smokin' Joe. And I went up there to Philly with our dear departed colleague, Hot Rod Thomas, who took some photos. But, you know, on the humor side, Barry, one of my memories of that visit was my two sons, Jesse and Alex, were with me in Smokin' Joe's gym. And he kind of had this upstairs apartment where he slept. It's actually where he lived for a while. And my older boy, Jesse, actually stepped on Smokin' Joe's foot, Barry. And for a second there, I really thought we were going to see that legendary left hook.
Let's stay on the subject of boxing. I wasn't working for the Voice of America then, but on October 30th, 1974, guess where I was?
Maybe the former Zaire?
You got it. You got it. The rumble in the jungle. And I tell you, it was just carved out of the bush. I mean, and there, ringside, with the heat and humidity, we watched what I have to consider one of the greatest upsets, because George Foreman came in as the prohibitive favorite, and Muhammad Ali did a number on him, the rope-a-dope, and it was amazing because a lot of times I'm sitting ringside and the actual perspiration, sweat, if you want to call it that, was pouring down on me from one of those two fighters. So, I mean, that has to go down as one of my memorable moments.
On that note, Barry, the rumble in the jungle, you know, Foreman in later years would reclaim the heavyweight title. Such a story of redemption. And one of the quotes I remember by him was, and he was referring to the rumble in the jungle, "We learned great lessons from those defeats." And it really says a lot, Barry, about, you know, just keep going. You know, we're all going to suffer defeats in life, and that and we have to, you know, pick ourselves up from the mat and keep going.
Exactly. You ask about other highlights. How about the 1996 Olympics here in Atlanta, just right down the road from where I am now, the Atlanta Olympics, where the indomitable Super Eagles took home the gold. And that has to be one of, another of the monumental upsets, because they won despite the competition, the surroundings, and I must say, the entourage. And I've, this has been a bugaboo of mine for a long time, but there, the big shots sat and had a good time at the Peachtree Hotel in downtown Atlanta. And I tell you, the Super Eagles were housed in a motel that I wouldn't put my worst enemy in. But the likes of Bob Anguita, Bob Mangiaro, I mean, J.J. Okocha, I mean, Kano and Wonkwo, the captain, I've left out so many. Oh, I have to mention Victor Ikeba, my old buddy. They came through and shocked the world, and I'll never forget being able to call that. And it was just pandemonium after that, because they had done what many considered to be the impossible.
Barry, I got to give a quick shout out here for the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. He was a member of that Olympic champion team, Emmanuel Amuneke.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Well, Barry, I know we can continue talking sports for a long, long time, but I would like to kind of remember three key voices on the Voice of America. They've all passed, but they really had such an impact on English to Africa, as well as the Voice of America overall. But let's begin with Leo the Music Man Sarkisian, true Renaissance man, broadcaster, musician, artist. He founded Music Time in Africa back in 1965, so basically 2 years after the first English to Africa broadcast. Music Time in Africa, now under stellar leadership by Heather Maxwell. She's done a wonderful job as host and producer of Music Time in Africa. But what are your memories of Leo, Barry?
You captured the words, Renaissance man. And what a true gentleman. What an artist. I had the privilege of meeting he and his wife, Mary, on many occasions at their home. And I remember one evening where he got out this instrument called the oud and played it like he could have been in Carnegie Hall. And then I looked around and I saw all these beautiful paintings. And I said, who did them? Knowing full well who did. And he said, oh, yeah, I do that in my spare time. I said, you know, you're producing one of arguably the most famous program to Africa ever. And this is your spare time activities? He was indefatigable. He was so dedicated to the African continent and its peoples that he is, you know, the word legend is thrown around so easily nowadays. He was and is a legend. And to this day, I don't care where you go in Africa, you will find people who still remember Leo Sarkisian. And that's taking nothing away from Heather Maxwell, who's doing a fantastic job. And she was a protege of Leo, who handpicked her.
One more reminiscence about Leo. We both knew him pretty well. And like you, Barry, even in his 80s, Leo had incredible energy. And I remember him charging into the office, and he like tap you on the shoulder, and he'd say, yeah, man, let's go, yeah, man. And you couldn't help but feel inspired when he gave you that little tap on the shoulder.
Exactly. Yeah, man. I can hear it like it was yesterday.
Well, another legend, Barry, at the Voice of America, may he rest in peace, Uncle Ted Roberts,
no.
the former host of Nightline Africa on the weekends at Voice of America. And I think, Barry, you agree with me that maybe Uncle Ted's greatest legacy was on the humanitarian front.
You've got it. They're in splendid isolation because Ted, as you said, worked on the weekends, did a lot of his programs live, so he had none of the infrastructure around him, even though maybe he didn't need it. But his links with Africa, his bringing together families who had been torn asunder by the turmoil in Africa at the time. And he is credited with bringing hundreds, even thousands of families together. And what better legacy can you have in the world that transcends other things that we did on the radio? We entertained. He did much more than just entertain.
I also remember Uncle Ted's riddles and jingles that he did on Nightline Africa. But I agree with you, Barry. I think on the humanitarian front, Missing Link has to be regarded as, if not the greatest, one of the greatest humanitarian segments on international radio.
And he did this without a staff. He did this all on his own. And talk about, you know, being tireless. I mean, this was obviously, we go back to the word again, passion. This was a passion, and passion will drive you forward even beyond what you think your capabilities are. And, hey, wait a minute, I have to remember, he had that jar of lollies on his desk, and who used to stick their fingers in there more often than not?
Yes, Uncle Ted would catch my hand in the candy jar quite often, Barry, but I do think he would usually smile and say, go ahead, grab another lollipop. But you know what, one memory I do have of Uncle Ted, Barry, on the sporting front, we had a visit, I think it was in either 2004 2005 by none other than George Weah, who is now the president of Liberia, one of the greatest football players of all time. In fact, I think he's the only African player to be named African Footballer of the Year, European Footballer of the Year, and World Footballer of the Year back in 1995. Just a tremendous soccer resume. But on this occasion, George Weah was a guest on Nightline Africa with Uncle Ted, and Ted invited me to be on the program. And I think the now president, Weah, really enjoyed his visit, Barry. We gave him a red, white, and blue Voice of America football. I don't even know if those exist anymore. I haven't seen them in a long time, but I know they're much coveted.
you've taken most of them and got them hived away somewhere. I know.
Enjoying a few laughs with the old sports emperor, Barry Mon, on the occasion of the 60th anniversary of the Voice of America's English to Africa service.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
In African men's football, excitement is building in the Ivorian commercial capital of Abidjan ahead of Thursday evening's CAF Africa Cup of Nations draw. 24 African football teams will find out their groups for next year's big tournament, which will be held from January 13th to February 11th in Ivory Coast. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says delegations from each of the 24 participating nations, African football legends, showbiz celebrities, and top African officials will attend the ceremony in Abidjan. In terms of building Nations Cup excitement, CAF says the tournament's official mascot, Akwaba, can be seen at airports, hotels, public transportation hubs, city centers, and street poles in all five Nations Cup host cities in Ivory Coast. Now, this is the second time the country has hosted African football's premier event. In 1984, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon lifted the first of their five Nations Cup trophies in Ivory Coast. Cameroon has once again qualified for next year's tournament. The teams that will be grouped on Thursday evening in Abidjan are, in alphabetical order, Algeria, Angola, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Cape Verde, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, Gambia, Ghana, Guinea-Bissau, host Ivory Coast, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Mozambique, Namibia, Nigeria, defending Nations Cup champion Senegal, South Africa, Tanzania, Tunisia, and Zambia. Elsewhere in African football, CAF and the sports company Puma have reached an agreement in which Puma becomes CAF's official technical partner for several CAF events, including next year's Nations Cup in Ivory Coast. CAF says the agreement begins November 1st. Puma will supply the official match ball at CAF tournaments, as well as provide the kit for referees and engage in marketing opportunities inside and outside stadiums. CAF and Puma will present the official Nations Cup match ball at Thursday evening's draw ceremony in Abidjan. CAF President Patrice Motsepe says, and I quote, "We are delighted that Puma, which is one of the leading sportswear manufacturing companies in the world, is partnering with CAF to develop and grow football in Africa." I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The AP's Mike Reeves joins us now with an update on the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Major League Baseball Monday saw action in both National League Division Series, and we'll start in Atlanta, where the Phillies and Braves played a thriller. Jim Hart provides the details.
Austin Riley hit a two-run shot in the eighth as the Braves stormed back from a 4-0 deficit to upend the Phillies 5-4 and even the series at 1-1. The game ended when the Braves doubled off Bryce Harper at first after a spectacular catch up against the wall by center fielder Michael Harris. That catch stunned catcher Travis Darno.
Where you got Money Mike making a crazy catch on the wall and us doubling up Harper to close it out. It was really emotional, especially the way we came back.
Darno hit a two-run homer in the seventh that chased Philly starter Zach Wheeler, who had no-hit the Braves into the sixth.
The Diamondbacks and Dodgers played game two of their series in Los Angeles, where Mark Myers has this report.
The Diamondbacks take game two from the Dodgers 4-2 to go up 2-0 in the best of five. Arizona manager Torey Lovello says there's still work to be done.
Obviously, we feel good about it, but we will take nothing for granted. We will continue to stay humble and work very hard.
For the second straight game, the D-backs came out swinging, putting up three runs in the first inning off Bobby Miller. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. homered in the game and drove in two for Arizona. J.D. Martinez went deep for Los Angeles. Zach Gallen allowed two runs over five and a third innings to earn the win.
Monday Night Football, the Raiders intercepted Packers quarterback Jordan Love three times in a 17-13 Vegas victory. Josh Jacobs rushed for the go-ahead score early in the fourth quarter, while quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 208 yards and a touchdown.
It was a total team effort tonight, and we knew it was going to be like that. It's just one of those things, we got to use this momentum now to our advantage, you know, try to get stacking these wins. But yeah, this was a big one tonight.
I'm Mike Reeves.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, war erupts in the Middle East as Hamas attacks Israel by air, land and sea. Hamas rockets rain down on Israel, spreading death and destruction. Israel fiercely retaliating by declaring war on Hamas and launching an aerial bombardment on Gaza. Where do African countries stand on the war? Join me, Haiti Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Alana Meyer, who won a silver medal for South Africa at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Alana won the silver in the women's 10,000 meters final, with the gold going to Ethiopia's Dorartu Tulu. Alana is celebrating her 57th birthday on this Tuesday outside of the Olympics. Alana also won two African titles at 1,500 meters, as well as the 1994 World Half Marathon Championship in Oslo, Norway. Elsewhere in African athletics, the new world record holder in the men's marathon, Kelvin Kiptum, received a hero's welcome on Tuesday afternoon at Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi, Kenya. The 23-year-old Kiptum was greeted by his wife, Asanat Rotich, his two children, and his parents. Kiptum's wife served him with traditional fermented milk, mursik. On Sunday, Kelvin Kiptum clocked 2 hours and 35 seconds for a new marathon world record in Chicago here in the USA. Kiptum's time broke the previous record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 9 seconds set by fellow Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge at the 2022 Berlin Marathon.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-Minute VOA Newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the October 10th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.